You ain't no match for the devil when he's got a legal claim to you. He will torment you. He'll make you sick and afflict you. And you can do all the rebuking and all the binding and loosing and everything you want to do. Ain't nothing going to happen until you submit yourself to God again. When you submit yourself to the Lord, then you can resist the devil. But until you get back in a walk with God, he has legal claim to you. And that's why so many Christians are sick and afflicted and dying, because they got so far away from God. I've told that story a few times, but it's a good story about that young 18-year-old I led to Jesus down at DFW Airport with his father that day. Led that boy to Christ. He got saved. Then I told him, I said, son, are you running around with the right kind of people? And his daddy said, no, Thurman, he's not. I mean, he's been getting messed up with a little bit of drugs and a little bit of alcohol and all this kind of stuff. I said, son, you're a new creature today. You need to stop that junk. You need to find you some new friends. Well, he didn't listen. A few months later, his daddy called me on a Saturday morning early and said, Thurman, my son's down here in Baylor in Grapevine, and he's got hypothermia. Said he got drunk last night and he took some drugs too. And before he got to the house, he got out of the car and it was about 32 or 3 degrees last night, just about freezing. And just after he got out of the car, before he got to the house, he passed out in the front yard, and he was there till we found him this morning. Said he has hypothermia. He can't talk. The doctor said he may die. Would you come down and pray for him? I said, I'll be right there. So I jumped in my truck and I headed down to Baylor Medical in Grapevine. I walked in, the whole family was there. I mean, mothers, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, they all thought that boy was going to die. He's 18 years old. I walked in, his daddy said, Thurman, he can't talk. I said, can he hear? He said, yeah, I believe he can hear. So I walked up there and I looked right in front of him. I said, son, if you can hear me, blink your eyes. So he blinked his eyes 2 or 3 times. I said, okay. I said, I told you to leave that bunch of friends you had. I said, them guys wasn't your friends. I said, I told you the Lord had delivered you out of the kingdom of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of light. I told you not to go back in his kingdom. I said, because if you do, I told you, he's going to kill you. When the devil gets legal right to you, he's going to kill you. I said, now then, I got one thing to say to you, son. Are you willing to tell God you're sorry and that you'll stop doing what you've been doing? I said, if you're going to stop it, blink your eyes. And boy, he blinked him eyes a whole bunch of times. That's all he could do, blink his eyes. He couldn't move, couldn't talk, or nothing. I said, so you're going to do what the Lord says from this day on? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He blinked his eyes. Yes, yes, yes. He couldn't say a word, not a word. I said, okay, now that you've repented, I said, I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to drive this devil out of you, and you're going to be okay. So I reached up and laid my hands on him, rebuked the devil. I said, Lord, this boy has repented. I said, so now then, I rebuked the devil, and he's gone. I turned around, and I told his daddy, I said, no problem. He'll be okay. So I walked out, and of course, one of the aunts or whatever followed me out there. She didn't say anything until we got out in the hall. When we got out in the hall, she said, you are the most uncompassionate human being I ever saw in my life. She said, I never heard anybody talk to a young man like that. Tell him he's going to die if he don't repent. I said, ma'am, I know what the word says. And I said, that boy's going to die if he don't do what he told him. I said, but he's done what I told him to do, and I guarantee that boy's going to get well. She said, well, I ain't never seen nobody like you. I said, well, okay, praise God. So anyway, I turned and walked off. An hour later, his daddy called me and said, Thurman, right after you left, he just fully recovered, and he's already standing up, and the doctor's fixing to release him. We're fixing to go home. Does he pay good dividends to obey God? Hey, it pays good dividends to obey God. Who is the healer?
God.
Who is it that wounds you? God. Who is it that kills you? God. The word says that, doesn't it? Who's in control? God. Now, all you got to do is please him. And, oh, well, he bless your socks off if you please him, huh? Life's good when you please the king, isn't it, girl? Oh, I love pleasing God, don't you? I don't like being sick and afflicted and being tormented and have the devil following around after me or everywhere I go. I like God and his angels following around with me. I like what happened in that airport down there coming home. I love that. Boy, if you couldn't have seen God in what happened there, man, your wood is wet. I mean, that was awesome, you know, that we were going to have to wait 4 hours and God just put us on the next airplane, but you're 1 minute past the deadline, so you can't get in. I said, we're going to get in. Man, she said, you're going to get in, no problem. But you're number one, your wife's number 10, and there's only 13 seats left on the airplane. I said, no problem. We're going to get in. We're going to sit right together. We're going to get our emergency seating. No problem. It's going to happen. And I mean, we went running down there. As soon as we walked up there, he already had our tickets in his hand at the gate. All I had to do was just take them. And I said, I'm Thurman. He said, Scrivener? I said, that's right. He said, here's your ticket. Here's your wife. And when Cheryl looked, she said, oh my goodness, we got the emergency exit seating too. I said, praise God. Now, is that the Lord?
Yes.
I mean, that's our God. Now, if we obey Him, now we love those things, don't we?
Yes.
See, but some of us think, oh, that's just, I'm just lucky. Well, you won't be so lucky next time. You better praise Him, worship Him, and thank Him, and tell everybody, He did that for me. And when He does, then He'll do it for you again, you know. In fact, somebody sent me an email the other day, and I thought, I don't know if this is true or not, but it was a good story. It said it was a carload of drunks. They were fixing to go somewhere, and some man came up and told them, said, you guys need to put God first and quit this drinking. And one of the guys, in fact, he even said, you know, you all need to take God with you in this car so you'd be protected. And he said, if God rides with us, He's riding in the trunk. He said they drove down the road a little ways, run into a truck, totally destroyed the car, and all four men were killed. And when they got down there, they opened the trunk. There was two cartons of eggs in the trunk, and not a single egg was broken. So if God's got to ride the trunk, He protected the trunk, didn't He? Isn't that something? Now, you know, that's just an email somebody sent me. I don't know if it's true or not, but it made sense. It made sense. Oh, I got to tell you a story that was told to us. You know, sometimes you hear these wild stories and you think, this can't be. You know, some of them are so wild, but I've seen God do some wild things. And so I was telling the story down there in Florida about how this guy's Dallas. He's the guy that was in Korea that had been out there beaten up on by the North Koreans for 2 or 3 months and almost froze to death and didn't have nothing to eat but bark and everything else. And then when he finally got back to the Yellow River on top of that mountain, he looked down. There's all them North Korean troops all dug in down there. There's the Yellow River, which is just right at freezing. And then there's the American troops on the other side. He says, Lord, if I got through them troops, I could never swim that river without freezing to death. He said, Lord, you're going to have to do something supernatural to get me over into my camp. And he blinked his eyes and he opened them and he was standing in the midst of his camp. Now, that guy's real. I know that guy. And he's written a book and even told that. And so I told that story to somebody down there. And they said, you know, we don't want to tell you what happened to a person we know personally. And the guy's name was Wade Phillips. He said, him and his wife were together. They were driving down a road and they started to cross a bridge. And all of a sudden, a big tractor trailer come across on the other side and went to sliding and it was covering the whole road and the bridge. And he said, oh, Jesus, you got to help us. Because otherwise, they're going to run into this truck. There's no way to get around it. And he said, him and his wife both saw this, when he cried out to Jesus, he said, our car went airborne and completely cleared the tractor trailer and sat down on the other side just as easy and never dented or moved our car. You know, some people will say, I don't believe that. That's too wild. Well, it depends on how big your God is, you know. Mine's plenty big enough to do that. Isn't yours, Ferris? Mine can do that. I mean, I can call on Him and, well, seemed to me like He made a little statement in Ephesians 3:20. I can do almost all you can think. Is that what He said?
No,
that ain't what He said at all. I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can even think or imagine. Is that what He said? So was it a piece of cake for God just to lift that car up and set it over that truck? Sure, no problem. I mean, if you have that kind of faith, you will have no problem seeing God do those kind of things. But you know, I used to have my God in a little bitty box about that big. And then one day I kicked out one side. And then I kicked out another side. And I kept kicking out those sides until finally, hey, now then my God's pretty big. He can do some pretty big things, can't He? So, I mean, wow. And when you get there, okay, let's go back to the scripture here. So He has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and He has brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. God has purchased our freedom with His blood and has forgiven all our sins. Now, when we came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, how many sins did He wash away? Right there, you were brand new, you were perfect, you had no sin. If we could only stay there, if we could only stay right there. But unfortunately, as we walk, we usually sin because we're not taught what the Word says, who we are, and that we can walk without sin. So anyway, verse 15 and 16 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. In other words, He is the creator, the ruler. I mean, He makes everything happen. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as kings, kingdoms, rulers, authorities. Everything has been created through Him and for Him, both visible and invisible. He made it all. Verse 17 and 18. He existed before everything else began, and He holds all creation together. If He were not that, we would be in big trouble. I mean, we would cease to exist in a heartbeat if He didn't keep it going. Now, Christ is the head of the church also, which is His body. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead, so He is first in everything. If He's the head of the church, He is your head. Whether you be male or female, He is your head. You know, so as long as you're His child, you're supposed to obey Him. Because if you do, then, I mean, wow, it's just amazing what He'll do for you. 19 and 20. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And by Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of His blood on the cross. We'll never fully understand the power of the cross. It's the most powerful thing in the universe. 21 and 22. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were His enemies. You were separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has brought you back as His friend. He has done this through His death on the cross in His own human body. As a result, He has brought you into the very presence of God, and you're holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. In other words, when Jesus saved you and brought you into the kingdom of God, you're now standing before the Father, a completely perfect, perfect individual without a sin or nothing, nothing. You're perfect.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, For This Is the Secret, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.